Medical Mutual wants to remind you it's almost time for Medicare's annual enrollment period. As a trusted health insurer for more than 90 years, Medical Mutual is here to help you find better Medicare benefits. Be confident you're getting the most from your Medicare Advantage plan. Schedule your free Medicare plan review today at medmutual.com/review. Medical Mutual, Ohio's hometown Medicare insurer.
Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
This is Jessica, and you're listening to the Asian Madness Podcast. What's up, friends? Welcome back to another episode from the Asian Madness Podcast. Here we are in the midst of summer, unless you're in the Southern Hemisphere, that is. I personally am a fall-winter kind of person, so I never could relate to people who are always excited for summer and to go to parks and lie in the grass. I will take cold weather and sitting indoors all warm and cozy any day of the week. Anyway, enough about the weather. Kind of lame. Today's episode topic was brought to my attention by a listener, Deb, via email. So thank you, Deb. Quick reminder, I would appreciate all case suggestions to be sent to my email because I cannot keep track of my DMs. Help me to help you kind of thing. So, relationships. I get that a lot of murders that take place have roots in relationships that have gone sour, but it is so strange if you think about it. Let's say you absolutely want to divorce your spouse, but it would hurt you financially. So what do? You basically have a few different choices. Divorce them and suffer through your financial crisis. Don't divorce them and just survive your marriage till death do you part. Or find a way to get rid of them, which usually means killing them. If you weigh the options, financially suffering sucks, I get that. But isn't the guilt of killing someone and then going to prison way worse? People seem to believe that they are smart enough to kill others and get away with it. But in reality, the spouse or the partner is usually the main suspect, so it rarely works out. The police have resources. There can be witnesses. And technology and science have improved so much over the years. It's very arrogant to think that you can outsmart everyone and the system. But, alas, people still do it. So that's kind of what happened in today's case, our victim being a young woman named Liu Hongmei. Both parties involved made some bad decisions, but none would be as bad as what her lover decided to do to her. Let's begin. This frustrates me a lot, but I wasn't able to find a lot of information about our victim, Liu Hongmei, whom I will refer to as Liu going forward. Born on September 14, 1982, she was originally from the city of Changchun in Jilin Province, China. I have no information on her background or family life, except for the fact that she had three siblings, so I won't dwell on that or make stuff up. We will learn more about who she is, though, as we progress through the case. Around the year 2002, when she was around 20, Liu decided to move to Singapore from China with her older sister. But of course, Liu wasn't just going to move to Singapore and not do anything. Singapore is not a cheap country, so she needed income. She applied for a job at a company called Ajir Systems Singapore, and was soon hired as a production operator. This is a semiconductor-related type company, so Liu was basically working in a factory. Not sure what her goals in life were, but as young people trying to make a living, we all need to start somewhere. So she decided that this was going to be her starting point. She was a pleasant young woman, hardworking, very polite. People seemed to have liked her and enjoyed working alongside her. Her superiors also took a liking to her, and one of them kind of took too much interest. Yep, during her employment at the factory, they had some management adjustments, and her new manager was at the time a 50-year-old man named Liang Siu-chor, whom I will refer to as Liang going forward. And who was Liang? Aside from being the manager to her unit, he was a husband and a father of three. Born in April 19, 1955, he was a native to Singapore. Interestingly, Liang actually had a twin brother, and you will see later how this plays into this case. It is unknown as to when he got married, but the couple ended up having three kids, one boy and two girls. Prior to working at Ajir Systems, he had spent around 20 years working at Singtel, a Singaporean telecommunications company. While working, he was also studying at Singapore Polytechnic, because he had three kids, and if he wanted to make more money, it made sense for him to further his education and try to get a better paying job. After leaving Singtel in 1996, he decided to do something a bit bold, something different. He started his own business, you know, be your own boss. Unfortunately, not all small businesses make it in the real world, and after failing that chapter of his life, he took up a job as a supervisor at Lucent Technologies, which later on became the company Ajir Systems. Some factories require 24-hour supervision and round-the-clock work, and Liang was tasked with the night shift, which ran from 7 p.m. to 7 a.m. Working night shifts is a tough life, but I guess he was okay with it, and for many years, he made it work. He was a hard worker, made more than enough money for his family, and I guess everything was fine and dandy. Liang was known as an introverted man. Most who knew him said he was very soft-spoken, kind, and a family man. Harmless. But that's what they all are. Until they're not. So, workplace romances are not new to us. It happens. Prior to online dating, people had to resort to other ways to find people to date. Sometimes it's a friend of a friend, professional matchmaking, bars, or, you know, people you work with. Nowadays, you commonly hear people say, never date your coworkers. Some companies even discourage or ban office relationships, especially for those on the same team or same department. On one hand, I get it. It can cause a lot of unnecessary drama. It can create favoritism. And if the relationship goes wrong, it can make it difficult to continue working in the same space. Not just for those involved, but very awkward for everybody else. But sometimes, well, feelings come and stuff happens, you know? We're not robots. We can't help how we feel. We can definitely, however, consciously decide on how we act. But this case is nothing sweet and cute like that. Should this relationship have happened? Absolutely not. I know it takes two, but let's look at the facts. Liang was a married man with children. He was 50. Liu, at this point, was only around 21 or 22, less than half this man's age. She was young, impressionable, in a new country, probably all doe-eyed and very easy to convince and manipulate. I obviously do not have all the details on how this relationship even started, but it is known that the two spent a lot of time together, as he was her direct supervisor. And maybe she saw him as a great person, very responsible, hardworking, and reliable. I mean, women like that, or at least I do. But she also knew that he was a married man with three kids, and that must have been weird. Even if she did have a crush on him, I still feel like he was the real adult in the situation, and he was the one with a lot more to lose, including a whole ass family. All I'm saying is that this relationship was a huge mistake, but mistakes should not lead to murder. While the two thought they were being discreet, it was in fact not discreet. Co-workers found out about the illicit affair, and someone, of course, reported to the higher-ups sometime in September of 2004. Some might say it's snitch behavior, but I can understand why it was done. Aside from the fact that it was an affair, meaning it was shady and not a traditional relationship, Leung was Liu's supervisor. During the time she was under his care, she managed to get promoted twice and receive salary bumps. This is tricky because even if she was indeed a hard worker and good at her job, people will see this as her quote-unquote sleeping her way to the top. It can cancel out all her hard work. I also wouldn't be surprised if people blamed her for seducing him or whatever, because, you know, that's how people think. Once the big bosses heard of this, they issued a warning to both Liu and Leung, telling them that this was unacceptable behavior and to put an end to whatever was going on. Liu was tearful and very scared, which is understandable as she was young, but Leung kind of denied their relationship by saying that he was only trying to be extra nice to her because it was her birthday, and by extra nice, I mean kissing her. I don't know about you guys, but I have never kissed my coworkers because it was their damn birthday. Like, I can buy you a coffee and give you a card. Weird excuse, but okay, let's move on. Did the affair end? Obviously not. Or else I wouldn't be here telling you about what a shitbag this guy was. Well, let's jump forward a bit to June of 2005. The affair was unfortunately still going strong. But wait a minute. Something's off. For whatever reason, the very responsible and hardworking Liu did not show up for work on the evening of June 15, 2005. Neither did she call in sick. That's definitely out of the ordinary, but, you know, sometimes life happens and you can't be on top of everything, even work. Leung, her lover and manager, though, was at work. He did his daily roll call and noted that two employees were not present. Probably to divert further suspicion and gossip within the company, he tasked one of his team members to call Liu to see what's up and if she was coming in for work. They called, but what do you know? Her phone was not even turned on. Well, what's next? Life goes on. Work goes on. Leung and his team begin their shift, no one really thinking that anything bad could have happened. But of course, she would not make it to work that day, nor would she ever work again. The following morning on June 16th, a city cleaner was doing his job near the Kalang River, picking up random trash and debris when he came upon a rather large cardboard box. While finding a discarded cardboard box isn't exactly newsworthy, it is worth noting that the Kalang River in Singapore eventually connects to the Singapore Strait, which is in the southeast of Singapore. Tons of ships come and go at the docks there, so naturally, a lot of cargo is involved. When this cleaner picked up the box, he noted that the box was taped closed, and it felt like it had something rather heavy and sturdy in there. He wasn't concerned, nor was he curious, so he continued on his way. But as you might know, cardboard doesn't really hold up when it comes in contact with water. And then, oops, the box breaks apart in his arms, and out comes something stuffed inside a green trash bag, loosely wrapped in newspaper. He bent down to pick it up, and then he saw something that he'll probably never unsee. It appeared to be a dismembered lower torso belonging to a woman, but the legs had been severed right under the knees. A few things stood out immediately to the cleaner. One, it was horrifying. Two, there was no stench. And three, aside from the fact that it wasn't attached to an upper torso and legs, the body looked clean and normal. No signs of rotting or decay. Like anyone would, he immediately phoned the police, and they arrived at the Kallang Riverbanks shortly after. They were definitely shocked to confirm that indeed, it was human and not a mannequin. You have to remember that Singapore is one of those ultra-safe countries. Things like this did not and definitely should not happen there. So police started to police, cordon off the area, and started to look for clues. Not far from where the first box was found, they discovered a blue and red box. Inside it was the upper torso, including the arms, hands, also bundled inside a green trash bag. This is obviously not ideal, finding pieces of a body here and there, and not to mention, they were still missing the head and feet. But at least they had something to go on, and seeing as the body was still relatively fresh, they quickly tasked the pathologist to help in determining if the two body parts found belonged to the same person, and if they could get an ID from the fingerprints. The answer to both questions was yes. It was definitely one victim, and once they ran the fingerprints through the database, they discovered that the woman was a 22-year-old Chinese woman named Liu Hongmei. It was also said that Liu's sister and co-workers had filed a missing persons report for Liu since she didn't show up for work the previous night and was unreachable, which is honestly very reassuring because if you think about it, she was only missing for less than a day, but the fact that her missing work concerned people enough to call the police speaks volumes. So the police dug a little deeper and began finding out some of her personal information, like her family background and her employment situation. Liu seemed to have led a rather simple life, with her life mostly revolving around work and hanging out with her sister. So that's a great start. They decided to head to her place of employment and see if any of her co-workers had any information to share. And boy, did they share. The police got the general information about how Liu was a nice person, performed well at work, and overall happy. But that conversation also led to the deeper and less presentable facts, like the fact that she was secretly seeing her manager and had received promotions, which some believed had to do with her secret relationship. So that's definitely interesting and paints this manager in a pretty bad light. Next, they tracked down Leong for a casual chat in order to get his side of the story. Leong did not do himself any favors, which is a good thing. He was behaving in a very strange manner, and his body language did not match the words coming out of his mouth. He denied allegations of a secret relationship with Liu, but the whole time he was talking to the police, he displayed signs of agitation, such as rubbing his hands together a bit too much, which was a terrible mistake on his part, because that only ended up drawing attention to his hands. The police noted a rather large cut on one of his fingers, and when asked how he got that, he said something about accidentally cutting himself on some home improvement project. At this point, the police were convinced that this man was hiding something, because what the hell was he so nervous about? The police had intentionally left out the part about finding Liu's body, so to an innocent person, they would only think that she was missing, not dead. Seeing as how Leong was acting strangely, police decided to take him down to the station for further questioning, and at the same time, they managed to get a warrant to search his home. His wife and his eldest daughter were both in Thailand at the time, and his son was at school. It was just him and his youngest daughter. Initially, the police found various items that could neither prove nor disprove his involvement, such as the same type of newspaper used to wrap the body parts. That's nothing to write home about, as it was one of the most commonly read newspaper in Singapore. They also found the same green trash bag used to wrap the body parts in, but that could just be a generic brand found in most homes. They also found a butcher's knife, some duct tape, and a bicycle that had some reddish stains on the frames. I mean, solid find, but further investigation required. After the search, police began to put pressure on Leung because although they did not have anything concrete that points to him as their main suspect, he was still acting very sus. Crime scene investigators basically camped out at his residence to comb through every single room as carefully as possible. It was odd though. Everything was too clean, especially the bathroom. Maybe he was just good at keeping up with his chores, or there was a reason why the bathroom was extra clean. Lead investigator on Liu's case believed that since Liu was dismembered, it had to have been done in a private area, and it had to be a place that could be easily cleaned. What better place than the bathroom? But like I said, the bathroom was sparkling clean. At least that's what it looked like. They combed through all the corners, and as they were thinking this was going to be a dead end, bingo, they got something. It was a teeny tiny red dot, barely visible, and definitely invisible to anyone not looking for it. It was found on the backside of the toilet. So you know how thorough the search was. The sample was taken back to the lab, and to nobody's surprise, it belonged to Liu.
How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month?
They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster.
That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.
Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
While questioning him at the police station, police continued to question his relationship with Liu, but he stuck to his initial story and said that there was no relationship. Even after presenting him with all the circumstantial evidence found at his home, he continued to deny any involvement. I guess they had reasonable doubt to keep him there, and good thing they did, because finally, on June 17th, around 4:40 a.m., he cracked and told police that yes, he did kill her. But hold on, not so fast. It's not that simple. It's not my fault. What does that mean? Here's Leung's statement to the police early that morning, which was found among the court documents presented in court. Quote, "She came to my house alone around 9-something to 10 a.m. We spent our time together when she came. There was no sexual activity. There was no one else at home at that time. We then talked about our relationship. Sometime at about 11 a.m., she proposed to me that I leave my family and follow her back to China. I told her that I cannot leave my family. My family have not done anything wrong. I told her that for my age, it is quite difficult to start a new life in China. It is going to be something new to me. New place and new environment. She told me that we can stay somewhere far from her hometown, and she is willing to support me. I was reluctant and worried. She proposed to me that we die together. I told her that I dared not. I asked her if she is joking. She suggested that she go first, to show her sincerity. She made me promise to follow her after she go. I took a towel from my room and wrapped it around her neck. At that time, she was sitting on my bed facing the door. I pulled both ends of the towels with my hands. I was facing her when I pulled both ends of the towel. As I pulled both ends of the towel, I observed her face. I asked her if she was okay. She told me a bit pain. She said, okay, can. I applied more force. I then did not let go. Her face turned blue. Not so nice already. When I looked at her face turned blue, I dare not do to myself. I gave empty promise. She did not struggle at all. She let me do. When I realized she died already, I think how to settle and handle this. From the first proposal from Liu that we cannot come to the conclusion, she suggests that we die together. To show her sincerity, she was willing to die first. However, she told me to ensure I must follow her to go. When I started kill her by using a towel on her neck, she only felt a little pain, but asked to go ahead. Since then, I apply more force till she really no more breathing. However, when I look at the face turn blue and so ugly, I dare not do the same to myself, but just think how to dispose her body. So I cut her into pieces and clear from my house. Unquote. But what happened after he strangled her? Even though it was still early in the morning, he knew he had to act fast. He didn't know how to dispose of her body, and come 6 p.m., his youngest child would be home from school, and he himself had to get to work before 7 p.m. for his shift. So you can kind of guess the rest. He took the butcher knife in his kitchen and began to dismember her into 7 parts. Her head, her torso, her lower torso above the knee, her 2 shins, and her 2 feet. After dismembering her and wrapping the parts with newspaper and stuffing them into green trash bags, he made a few trips on his bike to dispose of her body and her belongings, selecting different parts of the city. He returned home at around 5 p.m. and decided it would be best to be as thorough as possible, so he cleaned his bathroom, washed his sheets, basically cleaning any surface that could have indicated Liu's presence in his home. How do we feel about his statement and confession? Does it sound legit to you? Maybe, since we weren't there and we don't know them personally. But after his confession, he was formally arrested and charged with murder. But is it murder? This is an interesting tidbit about Singapore laws, because apparently there is an exception which reads, quote, culpable homicide is not murder when the person whose death is caused, being above the age of 18 years, suffers death or takes the risk of death with his own consent, unquote. That is, assuming his statement is true. But how can we verify that if only one of them is here to tell the story? Unfortunately for Leung, the police did not really believe his story. They still had to find the other body parts. So the police did their research, looked all over the banks of the river, and ultimately decided that if the body parts were in trash bags, there's a good chance that they would have wound up in a garbage dump. So a team of investigators went to the dump, and after combing through mountains of trash for nearly the entire day, they found her head and her shins. Her feet, though, were never found. But still, it's progress. They were able to confirm that the body parts did indeed belong to Liu, but despite having most of her body, it was still very difficult to determine the cause of death. As Leung stated, he used a towel to strangle her, and it would have been a different story if he had used a wire or something thinner and tougher. What's more concerning is that they found no defensive wounds on Liu's body, meaning she most likely had not fought back. Could it be that she really just sat there and allowed him to strangle her to death? It's odd, but it's technically not impossible either. The police weren't just going to take his word for it, though. Not that they had malicious intent, but his story just wasn't very convincing. He managed to make himself out to be the good guy, the savior. Oh, I can't leave my wife and kids. I promise I'll die once you die. I'm doing this for you. I'm wrongfully accused. So the investigation continued, and pretty soon, the police found something unrelated to the murder, but it managed to shed some light on the murder. Only one day prior to her murder, Liu discovered that her ATM card was missing from her purse. Losing it is one thing, but having it stolen is entirely different. She wasn't sure what happened, so like a regular person, she went to the police and the bank to file a report. The bank told her that a total of about 2,000 Singaporean dollars had already been withdrawn, but they were very helpful and told her that they would provide her with the CCTV footage of the exact ATMs where the money was taken from. But they needed time to process this, so they told her to come back a day later, on June 15th. So apparently, she had plans to go to the bank on the 15th, but before she could do that, she was murdered. Police decided to follow up on that lead, and the camera footage showed a skinny man wearing sports gear and a baseball cap. Despite his attempt to disguise himself, the police could easily tell that the man, indeed, was Leung. But if you can recall, Leung actually had a twin brother, which is almost comical as it sounds like something you see in a movie. Like, I didn't commit the crime, it was my twin brother. But his twin brother was looked into, and he had nothing to do with Leung, and he had an alibi. So I guess Leung had no choice but to admit that yes, he was the thief. But how did this happen? On June 13th, 2 days before the murder, Leung and Liu had gone to a hotel to have some private adult time. And while Liu was in the shower, Leung went through her purse and took her ATM card. Being lovers, he knew her PIN code. And after they checked out of the hotel, he began to try her card at various ATMs, effectively stealing money from her. After Liu discovered that her card was missing, she told Leung about it, including going to the police and to the bank, and the part where the bank was going to show her who the thief was. So this is kind of solid, right? When Leung was confronted with this information, he quickly admitted that, yes, he did steal the card and the money, but he swore up and down that this was just a prank. He said that he actually returned the card and the money the following day on the 14th, but the police were never able to verify this. And if indeed it was returned, why would Liu go to the police if she realized it was just a prank? I don't know. Pranks should be funny, or at least entertaining. It kind of sounds like he stole from her, hoping she wouldn't notice. And what are the odds that he invited her to his house for the very first time on the morning of the 15th, right before she was about to go to the bank? He even told her he would accompany her, which is how he successfully lured her to his apartment. Could it be that he killed her because he feared being recognized on the camera footage? Faced with all this evidence, I guess he got tired of lying and pretending to be the good guy. 10 days after his initial arrest, he finally told the truth. He indeed killed her to hide the fact that he stole money from her. He admitted that he spiraled after hearing that she was going to the bank, thinking that he would get arrested. The affair would be fully exposed, his family would leave him, he would get fired, etc. He'd be a failure. Notice a pattern? It's all about him. His life. And that's what's troubling. People want to cover up their petty crimes with major crimes. It rarely works out in their favor, but they still insist on trying. So what really happened that morning on the 15th at his home? In general, it was similar to what he had said earlier, except he started off by testing her, trying to see how much she actually loved him. Turned out, it was a lot. He then proclaimed his love for her as well, and since he was feeling confident, he decided to toss out the idea of them killing themselves, a la Romeo and Juliet, star-crossed lover style. Liu was maybe too naive, too impressionable, so she really believed him. This explains why she had no defensive wounds on her. Could this be the actual truth? Was her love for him so strong that she was willing to die for him? Maybe, but definitely closer to what the police believed. And this definitely turned manslaughter into first-degree murder. It's all about intent, and he was the one who brought up the idea of killing themselves. Why she agreed, I cannot say for sure, but it could have been a moment of confusion. Before we get to the trial, let's talk about Liu a bit more. Liu's funeral was held on July 11, 2005. It took a while to conduct the autopsy and to piece together information, but she was released back to her sister as soon as they were able to. Liu's murder made nationwide news as it was such a terrible crime. The undertaker who was handling her body felt pretty bad about laying Liu out without her feet, so he went ahead and created 2 feet made of wax. And even though it's not visible, it was still a very nice gesture. He wanted her to be complete. About 150 people attended Liu's funeral, but sadly, none of her immediate family members were there. Her sister, who was living in Singapore as well, said she could not bring herself to attend. She was set to get married in September of that same year, and had even made Liu a bridesmaid. To her, it was ridiculous that her sister would decide to kill herself. She was very close to her. She knew her sister had plans and passion for the future, but despite their closeness, she had no idea that Liu was seeing a married man in secret. I understand Liu may not have been proud of this, so she may have decided to keep this away from those she loved the most, maybe afraid of being judged. As for her parents and her other siblings who were back in China, I've read that they were either too distraught to attend, or the siblings deliberately kept their parents from finding out as they didn't want to cause them any anguish. Sure, I get why they would do that, but it's a short-term solution. I am in no position to judge because you can never predict how you might respond to such tragedies. Her cremated remains were eventually sent back to China to be with her family. The trial officially began in May of 2006 in the High Court of Singapore, almost a year after the murder. Leung was misbehaving in court. He started off by changing the story yet again, saying that he was coerced into confessing and that the lead detective played mind games to get him to confess to murdering her. Apparently, he accused the lead detective for bringing him tea to gain his trust, and that's why he said what he said. But the detective, of course, came with receipts, and according to his side, he didn't bring the tea until after he made the confession, and it was days after, not like, confess and I'll give you something nice. Leung wouldn't give up, though, and he continued to tell the judge that he only killed Liu because they decided to die together, and that he only changed his mind afterwards. Because he saw that she was turning blue, she looked ugly, and he didn't want to look like that. Eventually, Leung was asked to demonstrate how he killed Liu, and one of his defense attorneys decided to volunteer as the victim. They grabbed a towel and commenced this weird roleplay thing, and as Leung stood in front of the attorney, he wrapped the towel around their neck and began to tighten it. It was a weird experience for everyone sitting in the courtroom, and a reporter even noticed that Leung had a weird smirk on his face as he was acting it out. Quite unsettling to see, I bet. This man started out small, like having an affair, stealing money, and quickly graduated into murder. If let loose, could he be capable of other crimes? 16 days later, the verdict was delivered. Leung did everything he could to downplay his intent, motive, and involvement. If found guilty of manslaughter, he could face a maximum of life in prison. But if not, well. So what's the verdict? Justice Tay said they did not buy the whole suicide pact explanation. As a young woman with a full life ahead of her, as someone who displayed no signs of hopelessness, it was clear to them that Leung manipulated the young woman to her death. The judge also brought up the stolen ATM card and money, which indicated that he had intended on using her for more than their relationship. It was also clear to the judge that this murder was very calculated, as Leung intended on having her come over in the morning so he could have the rest of the day to dispose of her and clean up the house. What's more interesting is that he never seemed to appear saddened over the death of his lover. Quote, "In the classic tragic tale of ill-fated love, the luckless lover committed suicide. Here, Romeo killed Juliet. The accused stole the deceased's heart, then pilfered her card and hard-earned savings and finally robbed her of her life. He butchered her after her death and took her apart. The deceased's demise in the Geylang flat on 15 June 2005 was no spontaneous suicide. It was a horrific homicide. It was a most disgusting and despicable murder. Liu Hongmei died a very cruel, heartbreaking death. Unquote. Anyway, he was sentenced to death. As most convicted killers tend to do, he appealed various times and failed. He even pled for clemency from the Singaporean president, which is not unheard of, but I would say rarely granted. It's not a simple decision for sure. And knowing the details of the case and how it shocked the nation, the president at the time just simply couldn't bring himself to pardon him. So he rejected him in November 2007. Once Leung exhausted all possible ways to get out of the death sentence, his execution date was then set. 2 days later, on November 30th, 2007. The justice system acts very fast here, as you can see. He was hanged at dawn, and he was 52 when he died. A few other tidbits from this case, though. What happened to Leung's wife and kids? Well, I would guess they must have been devastated to find out what happened. Not just the affair, but the murder. It was said that they were not in attendance during the court hearings, but they did visit him from time to time in prison. Not sure if those were friendly visits or out of obligation, but I do consider them victims of this whole case as well. They never asked for this. They could not have anticipated this. Just imagine being a family member of a convicted killer and all the stigma that comes with that. One of Leung's defense attorneys was a man named Subhas Anandan, aka The Basher. And this is not the first time this man made an appearance in this podcast. He was also the defense lawyer for Anthony Lur from episode 87, the husband who killed his wife, Annie Leung. I'd say I'm starting to see a pattern here, but I know he has cases that are not about men killing women as well. Subhas has also expressed some doubt about the reason as to why Leung killed Liu. Was it really because of money? And why would he take that from her? He wasn't in need of money either, as he made a good living from his job. He felt that it was a series of unfortunate events, kind of like a snowball effect, that could have led him down this path. I mean, maybe, yeah, but what happened still happened. It sucks for everyone, but kind of feels like it could have been prevented at some point. This case was featured in various documentaries and books, including a book titled Crime Scene Asia, When Forensic Evidence Becomes a Silent Witness. So there you have it, the murder of a young Chinese woman who only wanted to build a life for herself in Singapore. Do you think she really wanted to die? Or do you think he killed her against her will? Or something in between where he manipulated her into dying? Don't underestimate the power of persuasion and manipulation. It really can happen. People have done strange things under the influence of others, especially those that they loved. Singapore is very tough on crime, which can make would-be criminals stop and think thrice before acting. If it's a deterrent, then great. But it also kind of sucks that some people only stop themselves from killing people only because the law is strict. In an ideal world, we wouldn't even think about killing other people. You can think someone is stupid and argue with them, sure, but killing is a little extreme, don't you think? I do not think Liu brought this onto herself, because clearly she had no idea that this was going to happen. If someone told you for sure that you would die from doing A, and there are statistics to prove it, would you still do it? Probably not. She was a young woman in love. Naive, yes, but weren't we all at some point? Sure, she shouldn't have been seeing a married man, but Leung was definitely there to lead it on, and he did more than commit adultery. There's a power imbalance with age, status, and finances. I know you may not share my thoughts, which is fine. Let me know if you have any thoughts on this case, though, or send me an email. But, you know, be respectful. With that said, remember to always be kind, be vigilant, and stay safe. Till next time.
This message comes from our sponsor, Teladoc Health. There are lots of reasons for wanting to be healthy. Family, work, living a fuller life. Teladoc Health understands. Whether you have diabetes, high blood pressure, or just need to manage your weight, Teladoc Health can help. Visit teladochealth.com/whatsyourwhy for more information. That's TELADOC Health/whatsyourwhy.